It is part of an historical taping series. The subjects of this taping are Minnie and Bill Armstrong.
And you are known as Bill, not yep. John W., are you?
Right.
Okay.
So and my name is Bill Armstrong.
And both of you were born here in the Valley, didn't you?
Yeah. No, I was born over at Elsie.
Oh, I see.
I was born in Westcliff, Colorado, out in the Colfax district.
And you were born on the place.
And the Riddle Place.
We now call the Riddle Place, and it used to be the Challenge Homestead.
That's right.
Okay, maybe that all straightened out.
And you was born?
I was born over at Elsie, on the old McCormick Place.
On the McCormick Place at Elsie, and I'm not familiar with that.
Well, that's where I was born at, and...
How many miles from Westcliff?
Oh, I think it's 21 miles to Westcliff.
From there.
Oh, farther than I thought.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was going to start with you, Minnie, but I must ask Bill just about his grandfather and his great uncle. I have read in the reflections that they stowed away on a ship and came to England. They must have been just boys, weren't they, when they came to America?
I think it was about 15 or 16 years old, somewhere in there.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't very old.
But did they ever tell you about their trip to America and stowaway?
No, not too much.
Bill was the younger one in the family. Uh-huh. Mary Volley knew all this, and this is how lucky we have this history.
Oh,
see,
yes.
That's his sister, Mary Baldick. It's Bill's sister.
Yeah, see, I don't have that. I don't check where I can.
This is, that's yours, isn't it? That's your picture. Mary Baldick is a sister, you see.
Oh, okay. Well, let me get all that with him. Did you ever know your grandfather?
No, I didn't know my grandfather.
Sadly enough, I think that happened so many times.
I didn't know my grandfather telling either. I knew my grandmother, but I was only 5 years old when she died.
Oh, and so you don't remember her very well,
no.
Do you? Oh, that's bad. Well, I think that sounds like a fascinating trip. I read that it said that your grandfather had worked for a rich uncle in England.
Uh-huh.
And,
For $6 a month.
$6 a month.
That's such a paltry sum now. It must not have been very much, even in, what was it, 1839 or something?
1839 when he married,
1893 when he got married.
Yeah, 1893.
Oh,
all right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, he was born in 1869, his dad was.
Oh, all right.
So you see, his grandfather never came here. He was over in England. His dad's dad.
Oh, yeah, maybe I'm mistaken. Was your father?
Mm-hmm. It's the father that came over.
Yeah.
He and two uncles. See, he and two uncles.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, we need to hold this book still.
Yeah.
Because this microphone is just going to go crazy if we don't. Because it will pick up all the vibrations. But, yeah, but I'll just keep it more closely then. And your dad never talked about his trip?
No, he never talked about his trip.
What about your uncle? Did they? Did you know your uncle?
Well, I knew James was the only one.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And he stayed in Illinois, and he was a coal miner. My dad come to Rockville, and he was a coal miner.
I was thinking that he must have been a miner coming into that country. Yeah. What brought your dad, Claire, across 2 years to the United States to Colorado after his trip from England?
Well, I imagine he didn't get enough wages over there, so he thought he'd get out.
But I know so many people settled in the big cities on the East Coast, and
I don't know why.
Why they decided to come west, that must have been a terrifying decision for them.
It really must have been, I think.
Yeah. Just remarkable. I don't know if I would have that much courage.
Well, I don't believe I would either.
Now, what about your mom? Where did her dad go?
Let's see, she's in Illinois.
Scranton, Illinois. And then she came to Rockville, and they were married at Rockville.
Mm-hmm. I thought that's what the book had been.
Mm-hmm.
And she was from Scotland originally.
I remember that. That's interesting. Were you raised with any of her Scottish background, Bill?
No, I wasn't.
Stories and things from her childhood you didn't hear.
No, I didn't hear anything about that.
Uh-huh. But that was a busy time. It wasn't.
That's right. You know, they lived out in the dry farm and they worked like dogs. In fact, Bill never even got to go to high school or school. He finished fifth grade and that was all.
Oh,
Bill has never had any higher education in fifth grade.
And then did you have to go to work there?
They worked all the time.
We worked all the time.
They walked 5 miles to school. You might tell her that.
Yeah, we walked 5 miles to school.
And now, this was when you lived in the Elsie area.
Uh-huh.
And what was the name of the school you went?
Elsie.
Oh, there wasn't it. No. I know so many of them up in this area carry a family name. I didn't know
it was just
not.
Called the Elsie School.
Uh-huh. Well, in the short time that you went to school, what do you remember about it? Was it fun? Did you not like it?
Well, I liked school.
Did you?
Yeah, sure.
Well, you didn't have to work when you were in school. That helped, didn't it?
Well, that helped, and then you got to play hooky whenever you wanted to.
What about your teachers? Were most of them pretty young, or were they older?
They were older.
Were they?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know so many
of them. Yeah, there was, there was every one of them in their 50s.
Oh, that's no fun, is it?
No, that's what I said.
They know all the tricks.
Right. But they had to go a long ways to school, too. They had to go about 7 miles.
Uh-huh.
And they come in an old buggy.
Oh, but they had a buggy. I was
mm-hmm.
going to ask you how they got to school.
Yeah, that's how they got there.
Yeah. And then after you had to quit school, then what kind of work did you do?
Well, I worked on a ranch all my life.
And was that your folks' ranch, or did you work for somebody else?
My folks' ranch.
Mm-hmm. How many cattle did you
do? Well, about 100 head at that time.
That was a fairly large operation for that area, wasn't it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, we used to have a lot of rains out there, so it didn't make much difference.
You know, I was talking to a lady just the other day who had mentioned how much the climate had changed here in Missouri, that there used to be so much more rain than there is now. I thought that was interesting that Bill mentioned that.
Well, from 33 on, why, we didn't have much rain.
Uh-huh.
We still ain't getting much.
No, we're really not, are we?
But over there at Elsie, why, I don't care if you planted a crowbar, it'd come up.
I'd always kind of...
We raised a lot of potatoes and corn.
Oh, and corn also?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
And oats,
uh-huh.
Barley.
Oh, gracious, you were really diversified, weren't you?
We were.
Uh-huh. Now, the oats and barley, especially, did you raise some of that to sell, or was that to feed your own cattle for the
winter? Well, that was to feed our own cattle.
Uh-huh. And did you put up hay also in the summer?
No, we didn't.
Did you keep it
It was all dry land.
Oh, I see.
You just don't. Okay. And you sold your potatoes in that.
Yeah, we sold our potatoes.
And how did you do that? Did people come and get them, or did you take them somewhere and sell them?
No, my dad would go down to Rockville once a week with a load of potatoes on.
Once a week. And how far is it from Elsie to Rockville?
Well, it's about 20 miles.
That's quite a trip. How did he go? With horse and buggy, or did he drive?
Oh, he went with the old wagon, and
uh-huh.
team and wagon.
Uh-huh. And that, how long did it take him?
Well, it took him 2 days.
Just down and back?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to gear myself toward thinking in this, but it's really difficult for me to think about taking an entire day to go 20 miles.
Uh-huh.
Even though I've ridden that far, and I've driven cattle and so forth, it's not the same.
Yeah, but you had to paddle these potatoes out after you got there.
Oh. Well, now that's a change that's considerable, I would think, yes.
He went from house to house with sack potatoes.
Well, much the same that they do now. I had a man stop from the family's diet with potatoes a few weeks ago. selling him half and half.
Yeah, but he had a pickup.
Yeah. It's a lot of difference.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, that's interesting. Do you find that these things are enjoyable for you to remember? Or was the work so hard that they're not really fun anymore?
Oh, we had a lot of fun.
What are some of the things you did for entertainment?
Oh, we played baseball or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Were there other kids around your area that you could play with or get together with?
Oh, the closest one was a mile away.
Well, that's not too bad then.
So we'd go down there once in a while.
You had a lot of kids at school.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Tell her how many kids you had at school.
There was about 48 kids.
Gracious. Quite a number. Yeah, compared to some of the valley schools that have about 15 or 20.
And one teacher.
Now, and you also had one teacher with over 40 kids.
Uh-huh.
Gracious.
Well, she had a load.
I'll bet she did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now look, you're giving me, I'll bet you just gave her 7 shavings, oh,
no.
Didn't you?
No, I wouldn't do that.
Oh, I tell her one of your experiences, this would be funny.
What?
About the rotten eggs or something, I
mean.
You know what tell her?
We'd, some mornings we'd get up real early and then we'd, take some rotten eggs to school and then we'd throw them down the chimney and then put an old gunny sack or something in there so it'd stink up the schoolhouse.
All of which totally endeared you to your teacher, didn't it?
Right.
How often did you pull that before you got caught?
Oh, I think it was only about 2 times.
No, that was probably plenty, knowing about the smell of rotten eggs.
Right. Because they stunk.
Oh, Jesus. Well, maybe this sounds like it may have been a different childhood than you knew about living here in the valley.
Much different.
Now, you're going to tell me that you were always a model student.
Oh, I tried to be. I wasn't always. But we lived on the old homestead. I walked to school about, I would say it's a good half mile, if not more.
And what school did you send?
Colfax School.
And you walked kind of across the field?
Yes, we walked through the fields and scared to death of all the cattle that my uncle and my folks had. Mm-hmm. My mother always boarded all the school teachers that taught at the school.
Oh.
In fact, she had 3 or 4. She had Aunt Nett's mother, Judith Jennings, Ruby Pipes. She kept them for board and room and got $50 a month, sometimes not even that much, for board and room for a month for the teachers.
And you said 50?
Yes, it was the highest that she ever got. A lot of times it was just $25. And the teacher and I would walk down through the field and come home at night, and then she'd board and room. Then on the weekends, they usually went home to their own home.
Oh, I see. And where did most of them live?
Here in West Cliff.
Oh.
Most all West Cliff teachers.
Oh, I see.
And there was usually quite a large crowd of children there. We had from, I would say maybe 10 to 20 children at school. Mm-hmm. Just one teacher also.
Now, were most of them ranging in age from like 6 through 14 or 15, or were most of them closer in age than that?
Well, we had all 8th grades mm-hmm. in the school. So they would go from possibly, you didn't start school until you were 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd jump through the 8th grade.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, then after that you had to come to West Cliff. After that they started schools here, you see, but this is way back when I went to school.
Would you mind telling me what years you went to school at the Colfax School, can you remember?
Well, let's see.
I'm 70.
Oh, I won't say you're allowed to be 70. And so, you see, that would be about, I graduated from high school in 1926. So 4 years before that, I graduated in 1922. I was born in 1910, you see,
okay.
And I went to school, so it was 1916 when I went to school.
Yeah.
And I didn't go 8 years. I passed it in 7 years, a couple of grades. They're the second and the third. And we had to change teachers in the middle of the school term. In fact, Reverend Ronica was one of the teachers also.
Now, is this the United
Methodist? My father, that's right. And he taught there too to fill in for a term. And my dad was on the school board all the years that he lived out there. And we used to have a lot of box socials and plays.
Oh, that's fun.
And dances. And
who would provide the music when you had dance?
Well, it would be Emil Obreski and just some of the neighbors. He was a blind boy that lived just below the school. He played his accordion. He was related indirectly to Julia Custer and some of the later members, but he was blind. And we had sometimes just phonographs. You didn't have TVs or radio, so you had no lights. You just had coal lights in the school. Finally, we ended up having gas lanterns up in the ceiling. And the highlight of anything that I can remember going to school, when Antoinette Snyder taught school, we had a box social. And at that time, Ernest George wanted to buy her box. And a former member that lived in the valley, Matthias Lynch, made him pay $25 to get this basket, which made him very angry. And that he lived on the place up in the hills at the time, but before he was married, Matthias Lynch. See, later he lived where the Hoods live now. But he was running the sawmill. I mean, running the threshing machine. During this time, and they had this all set up that Ernest George should not get this basket. So they put him up here, and he did $25 for this. And we had a lot of box socials. That's how it got people together.
Sure. And where did the money go that was raised in a box social? Say $25 for one box.
It would go back into the school to get supplies, like drinking fountains, shades, stoves, desks. You see, they weren't really kept up by the community. Every school had to kind of see for themselves. Maybe you'd need new windows, or you'd have to have some pool drapes when you were having a play. It just all went back into the school again. And it was also used for a polling place for election. Colfax was. And now it's been made into a lovely home, which Evelyn and Bob Kelsey have bought that Colfax school.
And they are related to you, aren't they?
No, not to me. They're indirectly through Vera, but not related to me. No, see, they're, I'm not related to any of the Millers except through Vera. But it was really a fun time because we'd always have plays on Halloween, possibly Christmas plays, singing. And you had the old pot-bellied stove, which you had to heat by, and the kids had to carry in the wood. And then we had a yard that we played in. A lot of people came on horseback. Some drove, and some of them walked. I think the furthest boy that came was Clarence Swab, who's now deceased. He lived clear out where Dr. Boyer has a place now.
Oh, my.
He had to come clear across there.
Then that must have been almost 5 miles.
Yes. Then Mabel Jones and Howard Jones live on the place that you have now. And they came to that school also.
Oh.
Then there was the Earpses, Bill Custer, but a lot of them are gone now. The Dietzes. We had quite a large school at some
point. Gosh, you really did. And most of you were descendants from the people who attended the German college.
That's right. Right on through. Because there were a lot of the Joneses and the Dietzes and all of these people.
I remember the Emil Gresky.
Yes, Yeah, she was the one that started the old church, you know, the Lutheran church, Grandma Gresky, years ago.
Oh, she was.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, I haven't heard this. I know so little about the Gresky family, and there seems to be no one around who is still related to them in any way.
Well, there really aren't. They're all deceased now. They're all gone too. The Swabs are gone, the Dietzes are gone, the Joneses. Lawrence Jones is the only one. They were, that was his uncle that lived on your place.
Howard was Lawrence's uncle.
Howard was Lawrence's, not Howard, his dad was Bill Jones. Howard's dad was Bill Jones, and he was an uncle of Lawrence, and that is the only Jones that's left here now.
That's really interesting. Bill, I wanted to ask you, in contrast to when you were going to school, I don't want to dwell all day on going to school, but Minnie seems to have lived in a very settled community. You were actually second generation in that area, weren't you?
Yes.
Was the Ilse area different in this? Were most of the people there for a shorter time because it was more of a mining community?
Yeah, they had a mining community there, and that's, well, I guess it ran for about 20 years, I would say.
Uh-huh. And did you have this feeling of family and the ability to socialize that Minnie talks about in her growing up years where you were, even though you had to work quite a bit?
Well, we loved our, you know, the sisters and the brothers all at that time.
But yours was mostly within your family, right?
Uh-huh.
Together with other people.
Well, other people.
We got together on
Sundays.
Uh-huh.
We'd always go see our neighbors, and we'd, you know, have a lot of fun.
Sure.
Play hide and go seek or something, you know.
Yeah.
And his one brother-in-law was Dr. Henshaw of Canyon City.
Oh, I see.
And so they would get to go to Canyon occasionally and be with them overnight, possibly.
Yeah. So you two really had quite different upbringings, even though both of you lived within 30 miles of each other, and both of you were raised in the country.
I was raised south, and he was raised east.
Yeah.
And we never got together until after he came home from the service.
Well, I was going to ask you, how did you two meet?
At a party.
At a party, I guess. I don't know.
Don't you remember, Bill? He's going to clobber you.
He came to town with his Model T Ford to take me to this Model A Ford, I mean.
First date I had.
First date with him.
And by golly, I come out of the
community building.
We had a dance there, square dance. So we come out of there, and I got the old Ford. Didn't have a drop of gas in it, and I just filled it up.
Somebody has stolen all the gas.
Oh, yeah.
We had to push it across to Hanson's filling station and fill it up again.
What an awful way to remember your first date.
That's right.
Well, that's what happened.
Oh. I wasn't aware that the community building had been in operation as long as it evidently has.
Uh-huh. Yes. See, we were married in 48, and this was about 46, I would say. 46 or 47. Yes, and it was just small parties, you know, and they would just have small parties. It wasn't a big deal there. But I forget when the community building started, but it's been quite some time ago.
I hadn't realized that.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was.
No, it had been there.
What about cars? Do you remember when your family got their first cars, or did they have them when you came along?
First car we ever owned was an old 28 Chevrolet truck.
Now, was that you and Minnie, or your folks?
His folks.
That's one of my folks.
They were without a car for quite a while, weren't they?
They never did own a car.
Just trucks.
Just that old 28 truck.
And later in life they got cars, but not his folks didn't. And I remember my folks, the first car that we had was in 1918. And it was a brand new Dodge with side curtains.
Wow.
Before, while we would go in a Surrey with horses, and the Surrey had lights on the side, and we put a charcoal burner at our feet that was in a little box deal. You put these hot charcoals in, or a hot rock, and this is how you would go to the Valley Church which is not there anymore.
No,
my great uncle built that years ago, and it was torn down. But this is how then, when we got this new Dodge car in 1918, my dad had sold hay, and he got $30 a ton for the hay, so we bought a new Dodge. Wasn't that a price?
Yes, it was.
And so,
and up until 8 years ago, it was still a good price.
Right.
And we had these side curtains, and oh, we were really up in style.
You were just right up here, weren't you? But your stirring must have been...
It was really nice. It was. I wish we'd have had pictures, but those days you didn't have cameras.
No, this is true.
And you didn't have... But we had lights on the side and all.
Did you have a fringe on top?
No, I don't think it was just a plain top.
Uh-huh.
But it was really something. I know we were about the only ones that had this Surrey, and that we'd go to the Valley Church and then back home. And of course, later years, we had the Town Church.
Mm-hmm.
But...
That was quite a trip then when you came all the way into town, wasn't it? Even after you got in the car.
And my mother, we were on the ranch for years without a car before that when I was just a little girl, and they milked a lot. And she made 100 pounds of butter a week.
A week? Oh my.
And my dad would come in and bring the butter and the eggs to town and deliver it. And as he got out here, just across from Lige Manning's place, he had a runaway.
Oh dear.
Upset all the butter, the eggs, and him, and he was nearly killed, and we had hardly no groceries the next week, because this was our life. We would sell the butter and eggs to get other groceries to the Falkenberg grocery store. So that was a long ways to come with a horse and buggy to peddle your butter and your...
And evidently rather a dangerous trip every once in a while.
That's right. Someone had come along with a car and spooky horses.
Oh. This often happened in the early days.
Yes, it really did.
Were just coming into use.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still, I'm curious, almost everyone that I talk with from here in the Westlake area talks about at least their parents gathering, I guess you could put it, gathering around the church, and the church was the focal point of the entire community. Was it similar in the LC area?
Well, we went down there to 10 Mile to church, and they called it the community church.
Uh-huh.
So, we'd always have a picnic after church.
Mm-hmm.
We'd always take something down to eat, and then we'd always...
And that was your socializing?
That was our socializing.
Yeah. Oh, that's
good. See, Bill is the youngest one of the family, so he doesn't really know the whole scene.
Yeah.
He had older brothers. There was Ken, Ed, Joe, and
George.
And George. And George was killed at a very serious accident.
Oh,
you might tell him that.
I don't know what year that was.
In 46. I think it was 46.
Well, in 46, my brother was out mowing hay. My other brother was behind him. And so the bunch of yellow jackets or hornets or something got after my brother's team. And so they ran away and knocked him off of the mow machine and dragged him for about half a mile or so. So we took him to Changin City to the hospital, and I guess he lived about 3 or 4 days.
See, they just, that team run away and just came by him and knocked him off of this mowing machine.
Well, I see the back team.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And just practically cut him in half. Now, he was the older brother of the family. In fact, he was the spoke of the family. Because Bill's dad died at...
Well, he died in 33.
He died in 33. See, Bill was a small boy. But Bill was born in 1914, so you can see that he wasn't too old. And so this older brother took care of everything and the mother.
That's your dad.
That must have been awful for you.
Yep.
Well, I and not picking unpleasant subjects. Somehow, I guess maybe the unpleasant subjects are sometimes the more interesting.
That come to people's minds and stick with them.
Yeah. I guess maybe it's like a bad dream. You know, the ones you remember, the fun ones you don't. But I wanted to ask you if you remember anything about the cave-in at the mine, Dorothy. This happened, I think, in 1929. So you wouldn't have been...
Well, in 1929... Let's see, that was the year of the fire, wasn't it?
Yes.
That was when the mine shaft got on fire. My brother had just quit there before then.
The same brother that was killed.
The same one that was killed because we bought the Elsie place.
You mean you?
I mean the Valley place, rather.
Yeah.
And, so Rich was very fortunate that year, because if he'd have been working there, I imagine he'd have been down in the mine shaft.
Now, I was reading a reflection before I came and then forgot to bring the book. It said something about a cave-in at the Elsie mine.
Well, this here pit would always, the mine shaft would always cave in.
Oh.
On top of the ground, it would just go down.
Well, that sounds unhandy.
Well, it was kind of unhandy, I guess.
Yeah.
Ines Burns at that time, which is Ines Paltenberg now, well, her house sat right on top of this here shaft dump, and it Putner went into the
into the open shaft?
Into the open shaft.
Oh dear. She didn't tell me that.
Did she tell you she had lived over there?
Just briefly.
Uh-huh.
That she had. But I guess we really didn't get into that. And of course that may be something she chose not to remember. Because some of these things like that, I'm sure have gotten funny in the last 60 years or so. 50, I guess, but I'm sure they weren't funny at the time they happened.
No, it wasn't funny that time.
Why did this happen in mines? I've heard of it happening other places, too.
Well, I guess it just undermined. They undermined it, and then it just got wet, and it just sunk down.
And when it got wet, that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see. Oh, gee. Now, I wanted to ask you... Were you in World War II, Bill?
Yes.
In the service during that time. Where were you stationed?
Well, the most in Seymour, Indiana.
You were not overseas then?
No, I never did go overseas.
So you were fortunate, weren't you?
Well, he wasn't.
Well, I guess. I don't know.
Tell her about why you weren't overseas.
Well, we had to walk about, I'd say a good half a mile every morning to, for breakfast, and I got a busted eardrum out of the deal, and they wouldn't let you put nothing over your ears.
Oh.
And it was cold, so I got a busted eardrum, and so I got disqualified for overseas.
Mm-hmm.
But I was there in Indiana for 39 months, and then I went to Harlingen, Texas.
Oh, you wasn't there all the time, was you, honey? Not in
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I went to Harlingen, Texas. And I guess I was down there for about 6 months and then finally got my discharge.
I see.
But he was in the hospital how long?
Well, I was in the hospital for 4 months.
With your eardrum?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And he doesn't hear today.
Oh, dear.
That's how come he didn't get to go overseas.
I had the feeling that at the time... You felt like you'd been a little bit cheated because you didn't get to go overseas.
Well, I'd have got to see a whole lot more country, I bet.
Yeah, this is true. What was the feeling here in the Valley during World War II? I know that it was much different than during World War I.
Oh, yes, much different. Well, everybody was just hoping for peace because they were wanting their young boys to get on home again.
Were there a lot of boys from the area?
Yes, a lot of them. He had his one brother, too, Joe, that had to go also.
Oh,
but he did get to go overseas, didn't he?
Yeah, he was overseas.
But his brother Ed and Ken never had to go. It was just Bill and Joe that went. But there were a lot of local boys here, and people were pretty unhappy about it. But then, this is part of life.
Well, what did you and the other girls who weren't married do during the war?
Well, let's see.
You went to dances.
Well, let's see. World War II broke out in
41.
Well, after I graduated from high school, I worked for the Demir Nellis family. Then, after that, I worked for the George Beersley family, keeping their house and cooking.
Now, I know the Beersley family, but I don't know the first name. It was what?
Demir Nellis, related to the Canda family.
Oh, I see. And last name was Nellis?
Nellis. N-E-L-L-E-S.
Oh, I see.
And I cooked and kept house and worked for them. Then I also worked at the Westcliff Hotel for Kate Weil. Then in 1933, I bought my own businessman's cafe and had it from 33 until 44.
Oh, my goodness.
Next to the Texaco filling station, known as Min's Cafe. You probably have heard that
I've heard it that way.
And I had to sell out in 44 because I had a nervous breakdown from 3 goiters, which I had removed.
Oh,
dear. So, in 44, after I sold out, my mother and dad and I took a trip to California. He still had a brother living in Hollywood at that time. I came back and I went to work at Evie's shop. Mm-hmm. And then I met Bill and we were married in 48. And we worked at the Custer County Courthouse since. I worked at the Ulrich Locker plant. We had a big garden. We just have tried to make life the best we could. We've never had any children.
Oh my goodness.
And
but the two of you seem so close.
But we have been very close, and we try to work things together. We do things together. And the reason we had to quit the Custer County Courthouse after working for 10 years, he had a heart attack and arthritis. And this is why we are no longer working. But we still are working. Because Bill still makes...
It sounds like you're just not doing a thing.
Bill still makes wind chimes, still does string artwork. And
Bill, your artwork is beautiful. Your wind chimes, the string art. How did you get involved with that?
Well, I don't know.
Just having something to do.
I started to put puzzles together.
That only goes so far, doesn't it?
And so I put about a half a dozen of them together. And all I'd do was just tear them up after I got through with it. So I decided, well, I've got to do something. So I got started in this here string art. Albert Hansen bought me a kit from out of Denver, and it was a windmill. Mm-hmm. And it had a big barn and everything on it. So I had, let's see, what was that? That was all...
That was copper.
That was copper wire.
Oh, gee.
You made it for Jackie.
So I got started on that, and then I got started on the string art.
And he just continued and really loves it. And of course it helps keep groceries on the table a little bit,
well,
too. With
yes.
With a set income of Social Security, you just don't live very high.
No, you don't. I know that.
And this is why we have done it, and everyone has been very nice in buying from us and helping us. We don't leave it downtown. We just sell in our own home.
Sure.
So.
I think it's marvelous that you have found something to do after your heart attack, which I know must have changed your life.
Well, it did.
Both of your lives, really.
The doctor said that he had to have something. They say heart patients, if they don't have something to do, it's not good for them. They just go up a wall. So he just keeps busy constantly.
Well, I think that's remarkable because I have known people who haven't. And they have lost what remained of their health.
That's right. Completely. You do.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not busy, why?
Well, the first string art I made was for Arlie Riggs.
No, the chime.
The chime.
Mm-hmm.
And she was going to have an open house for
Crystal
Vickerman, and she wanted to do a chime because she'd heard ours out there.
Well, I think yours is
so I got started making chimes.
It's through Arley that we got started.
Oh, how nice.
We went to every place in Canyon to find material we didn't know what we were looking for.
Sure.
And now, of course, we buy in large quantities.
Uh-huh.
And it has worked out. And I hope your people enjoyed theirs, didn't they?
Oh, they did. My grandmother loved
hers. Well, we have them, I think, in about 25 states now.
Oh, that's great.
It's just repeat orders. Somebody gets one, they send back and get them.
I just think they're beautiful. I want to back up.
Okay.
And I forgot to ask you a question that I was really interested in. Two, actually. Both of these pertain to your father. And he raised cattle and horses in the valley.
Yes.
Did he raise blooded horses?
He had a stallion, and that's how he was in the breeding business. Yes, that was all he did in that.
And
then, of course, he had cattle, and not a large amount of cattle.
Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, he was a water commissioner for 40-some years.
That must have been a very interesting occupation at that time.
And
all the disruption about water.
That's right. And, of course, at that time, there was no retirement. There was no sick leave. There was nothing. He started out at $4 a day. I think now they get $20 or $25 a day. And he would ride horseback. In fact, he would take his buggy from here clear to the Ballman and Hook Ranch and stay all night because he had to go clear to Texas Creek. And that was a three-day trip. He would go from here to the Ballman and Hook Ranch. Then he would stay all night, go on down to Texas Creek, come back up and stay again, then on home.
Oh, my goodness.
And at that time, he had most all the districts. Well, now it has been divided into more districts.
Yeah.
And, of course, now they have retirement, they have sick leave, they have everything. But he died just under the wire, never got no retirement or anything.
Oh, gosh.
So it was kind of a rough deal.
Well, yes, and was your mother still alive at this time?
Yes, see, my mother died in 61. My dad died in 51.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, she was an invalid. She had arthritis up and down her spine. We lifted her in and out of bed at the last. She sat and crocheted from morning till night. That's why my house has so much crochet work.
And it's beautiful work.
And she really had sort of a sad life, but she kept herself occupied. Lucky her eyes were good to do this. So.
I hadn't realized that our concept of benefits for people who work is so new.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just in the last, well, it's been over 30 years now, but we're not the same one.
Yes.
But still, the fact that even then, there were not the benefits that we take for granted today.
No, there was nothing at that time. Because he never, as I said, and he only got paid the days he went out. Now they get paid a monthly salary.
Yes.
And he would ride the creeks and check head gates and all that, or walk.
Was he involved in any water disputes?
Yes, a lot of times.
Yeah. Water has always been a very hot
subject. Oh, yes.
Subject
he would have to bring him into court and all at different times.
Oh.
It got pretty hot and heavy sometimes. And in fact, some of the farmers would get so mad they'd carry their shovels along and was going to beat up on their next farmer and all. It wasn't very interesting.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Clear down over there in the Rice and the Vickerman area.
Yes. Oh,
so.
And I'm sure that there's probably much of that that you can remember that you would probably choose not to talk about.
That's right. It wasn't the best thing.
Well, and it still isn't some days of the year. I wanted to ask you one other thing. This is a new term. The Reflections book said that your father he conducted Liberty Loan Drives.
Yeah, you see, they used to have Liberty Loan Drives instead of, you sold these bonds now, but they would go around and sell these Liberty Bonds. And he was always the head of that. In fact, his name was put into Who's Who at one time.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know, there might even be something in that. I don't know that we might have a...
That's really interesting. I was going to ask you about World War II, Bill. How did you feel about the war? Were you drafted? I'm assuming you were.
Yeah, I was drafted.
Uh-huh. Of course, you know, the war that I'm most familiar with wasn't even called a war, and that was Vietnam. And I think even though I'm an avid historian and so forth, it's a little bit hard for people of my age to really realize how much different the feeling was in 1941 from 1962 or 63. Can you recall how you felt being pulled into the army and removed and uprooted from Elsie?
Well, I really didn't want to go, I'll tell you for sure, at that time.
Were you scared? That's a dead
Well, one. I guess I was.
I think what I'm pointing toward is, what exactly were you scared of? Was it the fact that you might not come back, or just the fact that you were going someplace totally strange?
Well, I think that totally strange.
You're just away from home.
Just away from home.
Yeah.
In fact, that was the first time I ever had to go away from home. I just spent next to time.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So, when I was taking my basic training, that's when I got homesick.
Oh, I bet it was.
And that was down there in Florida.
I don't know if there's anything any different or not.
Killing Frank Gerhardt. I mean, well, what is this book? Who's Who in Colorado, the 1938 edition. Oh my goodness. Born in Custer County, Colorado, December 11th, 1877. E.D., Custer County? Oh, educated in Custer County and Canyon City Public Schools. He married Mary Hansen, June 1907 in West Cliff. Son is August W.
That was your half-brother,
wasn't
it? My half-brother.
Yeah. Daughter, Minnie C. 1891 to 1898, he was associated with father, who was William Killing, in farming near West Cliff. This whole history is contained and must be at least a good 2 inches here. And it talks about, let's see, owned and operated a farm south of West Cliff, prominent in cattle and horse raising, the whole thing. I think I just wanted to finish talking with you about your dad, and he was mentioned in Who's Who in the 1938 edition. That must really have been exciting for your family, wasn't it?
It really was. There are a lot of people in it. If you'd like to take it home and read it.
Oh, I would love to.
You sure? There's a lot of history of all, this is all of the state of all of, in Colorado. There might be people that you in Bent County and all these different counties.
This could well be.
And it might work out in your business. It might be a big help to you.
Well, thank you very much.
You take it, Debbie, because I'm not using it now, but it was a thrill when he was put into that. So, and there are people in here that you will know otherwise.
Are they listed alphabetically, or?
They're listed,
by occupation?
I can't remember just how. I guess if I look in the index, it would be better instead of.
Oh, I see. They're listed by county.
By county. Archuleta County, Baca County. You see, right on through Bent County and Boulder County.
Custer County ought to be in here somewhere pretty shortly.
We just had it just a minute ago.
Well, now I don't know why I closed the book, but I did.
Chaby, Cheyenne, Clear Creek, Canales.
I hadn't realized there was.
Costilla.
Let's see,
here.
Custer.
Now you see, this was put in by Rady Wall, and it's all here. And then you see there's Lewis Abbott, Alexander, Mrs. Beeman, George Beardsley.
Oh, yes.
Pauline Beardsley, Homer.
Is Pauline still alive?
Yes.
She lives in Pueblo.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's not a bit well either.
Oh, she's
not. And Candor Rockwell.
Is this Rod's dad?
This is Uncle.
Uncle, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Charlie Dixon, who was at one time the postmaster here.
Oh.
This was Dr. Fee.
Oh, yes.
George Funderburg Gibbons's. This is our minister that was here, Gunther.
Gunther. Mm-hmm.
And here's Uncle John Henry.
August
Annie's.
John Henry Hansen. This is
Annie's husband.
Husband? Oh.
This is an uncle. This is Mabel Haskell, who was had the post I mean the telephone office down here where Dr. Stanley lives. See,
oh,
we had our telephone exchange down
I knew you did. That's where Leona used to work, isn't it?
And Henry Henning and Johnson, who, and here's Charlie Jones. This is Lawrence's dad.
Oh, I see. Oil dealer and sheriff, for heaven's sakes.
Then Bill Kettle, Leona Lee. This is Augie Menzel's dad, who was a mortician.
Charles August.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and so Augie just kind of fell into that profession,
Mercier,
didn't he?
That was related to the Menzels, and Victor Mercier, and Harry Swab,
Stewart, Schneider.
And
oh, my. How interesting. I did not know anything like this existed.
Judas, Willard Walker.
Strelkies.
But you take it with you, Debbie,
oh,
and you keep it as long as you want, because...
Completing this tape is an article from the Reflections Bicentennial Custer County Women's Club book from 1976. It's an article about the Joe Armstrong family as told by Mrs. Mary Armstrong Baldick. Joe Armstrong, born in England in 1869, came to America with two brothers as stowaways aboard a ship. He had worked in England for a rich uncle for $6 a month wages. This prompted him to come to America, the land of opportunity. He met and married Mary Love on May 3, 1893 in Rockville, Colorado. Miss Love was originally from Scranton, Pennsylvania. Her parents were from Scotland. They arrived in Colorado in 1892. After their marriage, the Armstrongs homesteaded a place near Elsie. Because of the many hardships, especially the freezing of their garden in July, they returned to Rockville, where Joe worked in the mines. Shortly afterwards, they moved back to Elsie and purchased the McCormick place, where they were living at the time of the mine cave-in. In 1929, they purchased the old Baldick homestead, spelled V-A-H-L-D-I-C-K, presently owned by Jack Giroux, where they resided until their deaths. The surviving children of this union are Kenneth, Joe, Ed, Bill, and Mary. All still live in this area.